Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. For those that have been to our church in the last 3 weeks, the church does have a senior pastor. I'm him. And once in a while I preach, but not this month. And I'm not going to preach today as well. We have one more missions guest today. And can we work with that a little bit, Dennis? I'm getting kind of a, I'm in a cave going on right now in my head with the sound. How many are staying caught up with your Bible reading? Bible First Lifestyle, good. I see some hands. That's great. Keep it going. This week we are in Hebrews. And next week I will be back in the pulpit to speak and to teach on Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, the focus of faith, is what we'll be touching on next week. The focus of faith. Do I need to do something, Dennis? Do I need to like move or something? Is that better? A little bit? Okay. The focus of faith is what we'll be talking about, so make sure you're here. Read ahead, okay? Make sure you're reading so that you know what we'll be talking about next Sunday. Let me pause just real quick here, make sure we get this sound right. Sean's back there trying to troubleshoot. Give it a second. Sorry about that, everybody. Okay, better? Ah, back to normal, almost. Still get a little bit of weirdness there. If you haven't got your calendar yet, make sure you get this. They're in the foyer. As you exit the back doors, immediately right there at that by that front wall, there's stacks of these for you to have. Now, this is more than just knowing what date it is. Inside are the descriptions and the identities of all of our missionaries and our missions projects. Then in the front cover, you'll see that our projects for this year are awesome projects. We're building a dormitory for Eastern European Bible School in Romania. We are building a birthing home in Tanzania for mothers to go and have a healthy place to birth their babies. We're helping to complete a church in northern Brazil. And we started building that last year. Those are all described here. And then all the different individuals in the calendar are there. Today's speaker is Mr. July. So you can turn there and see Mr. July, his good-looking face, and enjoy that. So they're all in here. You need this in order to pray for each missionary. It may not even be the month that it is on the calendar, but thumb through this on a regular basis and pray for those missionaries. Ask God just to pour out His blessing and to keep them safe and to keep them funded and to keep them full of vision and so on. So make sure you get... Today is also the last day that you can put in your pledge cards. They look like this. If you don't have one, they're in the seat backs in front of you. And this is our last Sunday for you to get those in. Right now, we are at 52% of those that call Abundant Life their home with a monetary value of 52% of $17,500 a month. And that's a pretty fantastic number when you consider that's only 52%. What would God do with the rest of the 48% to just have a record year this year? And I'm excited to see what will come in today. So make sure you fill out your pledge card. If you don't know fully what this is, that this is how we fund the missionaries that I just told you about in the calendar. All these people need support to stay on the mission field, to preach the gospel to people around the world. And we're a part of that. And so you take this card, you fill out the large part, and after the message today, you'll put that in the offering. The perforated, smaller part, you tear it off, keep it for yourself. And then every month from now through February 2020 is your commitment. Okay? So it's 12 different installments. If you want to do a one-time gift, that's okay too. Some people do that. Some people do weekly things. But it's a one-year thing that we can support and make sure our budget is right for those individuals. So let's see what God will do when everybody does something. I've thumbed through the cards already a little bit, and I'll tell you, there have been people that can give an extraordinary amount. Some people nearing $2,000 a month. God's blessed by that. But you know what? God's also blessed by a card I saw from a child at 25 cents a month. How many know God is equally as blessed by the largest gift to the smallest gift? Amen? He's blessed. He cares about everybody's heart. If everybody will do something, Jesus said to that widow who put in the mite, and that was less than a penny, God said that gift was more than all the rest because she gave all she had. And I know that Jesus is pleased and He pours out His blessing on that. So let's make it today. Do something today and let it be a step of faith. This morning we are blessed. It's been a little while since Pastor Deshaun and his wife Gianni have been with us. They are friends of our church for the full tenure of my being here at Abundant Life. We went to Bible school together, and it's good to see Drew and Sue Petiti as well. Drew is Deshaun's roommate, and these guys are just close brothers of mine. And I've known Deshaun since 1983, and Drew as well. So it goes back 36 years this year. And you know how sometimes when people get married and they start to look like each other over time? When he steps up, you'll see how close we are because we look so much alike. But we are blessed. He has been a former superintendent of the entire nation, Assemblies of God in Sri Lanka. Pastors a leading church there. Truly, the nation of Sri Lanka has been touched by my brother's ministry. That I'll never forget walking in a town area about 6 hours' drive from his home church. And he had been on the radio, and as we were purchasing some things, the lady we were purchasing from says, "I recognize your voice. I recognize your..." And then it clicked in that who it was. And that's the power of God through people who are willing to give them everything. And Pastor Deshaun has that kind of influence in his nation. And so it's a privilege to call him my brother, as well as a co-laborer, and as an influencer that is truly global. So let's give the rest of our time to him as he comes. Would you give a welcome to Pastor Deshaun?
Good morning. It's good to be here. And we both look alike, as you can see. He's the ugly one, and I couldn't believe I tried to count. It's almost 34 years I've been coming here, and it's such a great place to be. A lot of good people, and it's like home. So thank you for welcoming us and giving us the privilege of being part of you. You know, as we close this missions month or this missions time at your church, I was thinking, I hardly get to speak at Mission Sundays because in reality, I am not a missionary. I am a national pastor. And I'm a Sri Lankan who pastors in Sri Lanka. But quite a few years ago, I think 27 almost, God spoke to our hearts and told us not to take a salary. That we had to give everything to missions. So we decided, we were just married then, and when you're just married, it's easy. I told my wife that's what God wanted us to do. And, you know, when you're just married, it's great. I say, jump, and she says, how high? Now I say, jump, and she wants to know why. But, and it was, you know, then your church picked us up and began to support us. And because, you know, we're not missionaries. We don't itinerate. We don't collect. But Pastor Greg and the church picked us up. And ever since, they've been sending. So, you know, God has taken the ministry to a new level of reaching a nation. You know, we are not interested in just a church. Because our nation is not even 2% born-again Christian. And it's okay to have a church, and you know, we get very happy with the church and inside the church and inside God's house, but it's outside. So just to let you know, for your support, you know, the church not only supports me, it always comes through because I'm the guy who writes in unplanned. Every time I say, hey, I'm in a crisis, blah, 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 can you guys help? And Abundant Life has always come through. So sometimes we have 8,000 kids that we really minister to around the nation, and sometimes on Christmas time we want to give them a gift. Some of them, that's the only gift they'll ever have, and sometimes $5 or whatever. And I want to thank your church. Always comes through. This last year we had a conference for pastors in our country. A lot of them are very poor pastors. Most of them don't have more than their Bible, because there's no literature. So in this conference, we decided to give everybody a package of 40 books in their language. And but we didn't have the money. Abundant Life came through again, and we had almost, I think, 1,500 pastors and leaders who came. Everybody, some of them for the first time, got their library that they could use in ministry. So, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for standing with us. God is doing good things. We are reaching the nation in a big way. We planted many, many house churches. We just moved up to 785 house churches around the country in areas where there are no churches, and doing a lot of things. But it's people like you who stand with us. And I'm really privileged to be here, be privileged to be called friend, and also to make this my home church in the United States. Now, I tell that in every church I go to. Today I'm going to share with you a story that you probably know very well. It's a story some of you probably grew up hearing if you went to Sunday school. But I want to share something that with a little bit of difference that came into my heart just a few weeks ago. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Let Dishan decrease and the Holy Spirit increase. God, give listening ears, receptive hearts, but change us according to your word. We commit ourselves into your hands in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So this story is found in Luke chapter 15. In Luke 15. And it's a story which you know as the prodigal son. Okay? Jesus is telling this story. And he says there is a father, kind of rich guy, with two sons. And I'm going to tell the story in my lingo. Is that okay? Rather than read it. Are you okay with that? Okay. Good. Actually, it didn't matter what you said, but it's okay. So I'm going to tell it in the Sinhalese English. So the father has two sons, and one guy couldn't even wait till the father was dead. He wanted his inheritance. So what does he do? He goes to the father, give me my share. He takes his share and probably hurts the father deeply, and he leaves. And he goes, the Bible says, to a far off place. Could be a country, could be a city, I don't know. It says a far off place. And there he squanders his wealth in wild living. In one version it says with prostitutes. In wild living, it's partying, it's just wasting his money. And he probably had a lot of friends, partied a lot. And then the Bible says, when the money was over, the friends were gone, he had nothing. And he probably even couldn't find a proper job. Being the wealthy boy he was, probably didn't get trained enough. He left before time. He goes to a place where they're keeping pigs. He's in a pigsty. And he's hungry. There's no food. And he begins to eat the pods of the pigs. Then he comes to his senses. He comes to his senses and he thinks, my father has servants that do much better than this. I'm going to go back to my father's house. And he gets up and he goes. Now he's destitute, he's stinky, he's no food, he's hungry, nothing. And he wakes his way back. Now I'm just going to speak from one verse this morning. In Luke 15 verse 20, the Bible says, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, he embraced him, and he kissed him. His father loved him, restored him, gave him back his identity, right? And the older son comes home. Now that guy has been inside the house. He was with his father. And he works in the father's field. He's faithful. He comes back home and there's a big party. Why? The father said, bring the cloak. Put it on my younger son. He was lost. Now he's found. He was dead. Now he's alive. Wash him up. Clean him up. Kill the fatted calf. And let's have a party. Let's celebrate. The older son comes. The party is going on. He asks the servants, what's happening? And the servant says, well, your younger brother who went and messed everything up is back, and your father has killed the fattened calf. And the older boy is mad. He's angry. He's saying, look at this. Man, I was with him all the time. I was faithful. I did everything. And now this guy comes back and he's having a party. The father, he refuses to go in, the older son. The father comes out and pleads with him and says, please, come in, come in. Your brother was dead and now is alive. Come in. So my question to you is, how many prodigals are there in this story? What is this story known as? The story of the prodigal son, singular. But I want to tell you, the way I read it now, I see two prodigals in the story. There is one prodigal that went outside the house, squandered his life in wild living, and messed everything up. But the second prodigal is the one inside of the house, the elder son. And actually, when I reread the story now in this light, I feel that the elder son probably caused more grief to the father than the younger one did. You see, the son inside of the house had all the access to the father's blessing. He had all the access to all of the father's provisions, but he didn't have the father's vision. It brings the father deep sorrow when his children would flourish in his wonderful provisions, but they are destitute when it comes to his vision. And you see, sometimes that's how I see the church. The church is flourishing in the Father's provision. We have some churches that only grow on blessing. All they talk about is how you can be blessed and how you can be blessed beyond and how this can happen and you can get better. And they don't talk about the purpose for being. Why are you saved when millions haven't heard the name of Jesus once? Why is it possible that you can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ over and over and over again when millions don't hear it once? Is God fair? I want to tell you, God is very fair, because to whom much is given, much is required. You see, God has a plan for you, my friend. God chose you. God wants to do something through you. That's why God allows you and I to hear the gospel so many times. It's not that, oh, we were so lucky we got it and those didn't. No, God has a plan. How do we become like the Father? Let's read this verse again. Luke 15:20. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. He embraced him and he kissed him. So how do we become like the Father? The first thing is, we need the Father's compassionate eyes and heart. The Bible says he had compassion on him and he saw him. He was looking for him. He saw him. You know, a lot of the times, church, we are inside the house and we don't see what the Father sees. We see exactly most of the time what the world sees. We see ourselves. We see we want better of this and better of that. And it's not bad to have those things. But you got to see what the Father sees. And here the Father was looking. You know, when the disciples at one time, they were going out with Jesus and they had forgotten to buy bread. And there was this big argument about, why didn't you bring the bread? And Jesus says in Mark 8:18, he says to the disciples, you have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? Don't you remember that a little while ago, I fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and there were 12 baskets of remnants? Don't you remember that I fed 4,000? And there were seven baskets of remnants. Now you're fighting, arguing about who didn't bring the bread. You know, church, sometimes we forget. And we don't see. When the woman came to Jesus at the well, the Bible says in John chapter 4 that Jesus had to go through Samaria, comes to a place called Sychar. And he's at the well and everybody's worried about lunch. 12 disciples go to bring lunch for one man. Only place you'll ever read that, and it's in the Bible, where 12 people had to go to buy lunch for one. And they go and buy lunch, and in the meantime, the miracle happens. The woman comes, she has 5 husbands, divorced 5 times. She's living with the 6, she has no hope, she can't draw water in Samaria. She walks to Sychar, and Jesus says, I'll give you water to drink that you'll never thirst again, transforms her life. And while all this is going on, she goes back to the place she's rejected in Samaria. And she goes back there. And while she's gone, the disciples come with lunch. And they say, here, Master, eat. And he says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And then he says, they say, why has somebody given them, you know? And they have this big discussion about food. And he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now the Samaritans are coming. But these guys are worried about hamburgers and fries. They're worried about what they're going to eat. And then in John 4:35, Jesus says this. He says, you're saying the harvest is going to come 4 months later? He says, no. Because now they're coming, right? In John 4:35, he says, lift up your eyes and see. Lift up your eyes. Why? Lift up your eyes. Because most of our time we are like this. My family, my child, my career, my payments, my this, my that. It's me, and me. It's always like this. I always say this, you know, when most people, when they look down, they see their toes. I see my stomach. It's all about me. Jesus is saying, get your eyes off of you and lift up your eyes and see. Friend, listen to me. God created only one of you. You're not here just to warm the pew. You're not here to say, oh, let them do the job. I'll just be a good Christian. I'll go to church. God created you for Him. You did not create God for you to come and bless you and make you and do things for you. He created you for Him. And He does not make mistakes. He does not create junk. He thinks you're important. That's why God anoints you. God doesn't anoint buildings, doesn't anoint iPads, and doesn't anoint instruments and TV cameras. God only anoints men and women. You are God's man. You are God's woman. You are chosen by Him. What you do, nobody else will do. There's only one of you. Lift up your eyes and see. That's what Jesus told the disciples. Lift up your eyes. Do you see what the Father sees? Do you have the Father's vision? The elder brother couldn't see. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Do you see with the Father's eyes? If you don't see, you know what happens? Your prayer life is very empty. If you don't see, all the things that you clamor for in this life are very empty because they're so temporal. I remember reading the story about Helen Keller. As you know, Helen Keller was deaf and blind. I thought she was born deaf and blind, but she actually got blind later on when she was 10. Helen Keller was asked this question by somebody. Helen Keller was asked, what is the greatest tragedy in life? She's deaf and blind. What is the greatest tragedy in life? And she answers, to have eyes and not see. Lift up your eyes and see. You see, the older brother was not moved. Why? He had the father's house, but he didn't have the father's heart. How do you be like the father? You have his eyes and heart. The next thing, you have the father's responsive feet. You have his responsive feet. The same verse. Luke 15:20. Filled with compassion. What did he do? He saw. Then he ran to his son. He ran to his son. He had compassion. He ran to him. You know, a lot of the times we have compassion. I can ask you, oh, what do you think? Oh, man, I feel so bad. Oh, I feel so bad. Look at that. Oh, I feel so bad. Oh, look at that great need. I feel so bad. You can be bad and feel bad as you want till you're blue in the face. It doesn't do any good. Compassion is not just to feel sorry. Compassion is where you feel for somebody's need and you do something about it. That's the true meaning of compassion. So, he saw, he felt, and what did he do? He ran. He ran. He knew the urgency of the time. He knew that there was a need that had to be met. The father ran. Time is crucial, my friend, for those outside of the house. This house is beautiful. It's improved in the last 34 years. Seriously, everything has got beautiful. Look at Sandra, how beautiful she is. Everything in this house has got beautiful, except one guy, of course. He's got old. I'm going to mess my sermon up now. Seriously, look outside. I was with Pastor Greg yesterday and I said, man, how this place has changed. This has become one of the greatest mission fields. Friend, I'm not here today preaching to you about foreign missions. Today I'm here to preach to you about missionary heart. If you can't get across your street, please don't get across to our place. Stay here. Because you're coming with the wrong heart. If you don't care about where God has placed you, how can you care about the rest of the world? You see, God placed you in Cupertino. God put you here. God put you in that neighborhood. God brought you into this area for whatever reason. Because God has a plan and He wants to work it through you. Because you are God's plan. You are God's man. You are God's woman. And you see, you can feel, but there's no point feeling if you're not doing something about it. You know, people have only one breath. They are one breath away from eternity. That's it. The day they can't take that last breath, they're done. 55 million people die every year. That is about 1 million people a week. That is about 153,000 people a day. And this Sunday, if 153 die around the world, I want to tell you about 80,000 of them have never had one adequate message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we keep feeding the same people over and over and over again. Have you noticed we come here? Oh, that was boring. That was good. I like that speaker. I don't like this one. This worship guy is good. That worship guy is not so good. Why? Because we are fed and overfed. We see, but why does God feed you? Why does He feed me? Because He chose you. And He chose me to make a difference. The father had feet. They ran. They went to where the need was. You know, the older brother had the father's fortune. But he did not have the father's feet. Do you have a sense of urgency for the lost? Will you run? Let's look at the next one. He had the father's eyes, heart, had the father's feet. And thirdly, it says in the same verse, filled with love and compassion, he embraced him. He embraced him. He had the We need the Father's arms. The Father embraced him. He put his arms around him. This guy was guilty. He was filthy. He was reeking. He had the stench of pigs. And the Father hugged him. And the Father hugged him. You know, a lot of the times we don't have the Father's arms. You know why? Because we are more interested. We have the Father's valuables than we have the Father's values for the lost. We want the valuables. We want more. And we think we are the blessed the most when we have he who has the most toys is blessed the most. That's what we think. That's not the truth. Everything in this life is temporal. But here he's giving us something even more. He's giving us a value that is eternal and not just temporal. Do you have the Father's arms today? You know, a lot of the times I think we have the arms, but we don't have the Father's arms. You know why? Our arms are so full, trying to carry all the blessings that we want, that we don't have room to carry the Father's burden. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. I'm not condemning blessings. I love blessings. If you don't like your blessings, give them to me. What I'm trying to say is, though, you were put here on earth for something greater than temporal blessings. You were put here on earth for the greatest blessing you can have, which is eternal. Let's look at the last one. We need the Father's lips. Father's eyes, his heart, his feet, his arms, and his lips. What does the Bible say? Filled with compassion, he ran, he hugged, he saw, he ran, he hugged, and he kissed. He kissed him. This kiss not only assured of the son's welcome, it also sealed his pardon. Think about it. The son, if you know the story, if you go and read it, you'll see that the son was rehearsing in the pigsty. I'll go to my father. I'll tell him, you know, I don't need to be son. I'll be a servant. You know, I don't want the original position. But what does the Bible say? He comes running before he can open his mouth. The father hugged him, kissed him, and forgave him. I want to tell you, when you have to forgive somebody, you don't forgive them because they plead with you. You don't forgive them because, oh man, I really brought them, I got them down to their knees, you know, now I'll forgive them. No, that's not forgiveness, that's fake. True forgiveness is when you are pardoned before requested. How many can say amen to that? I can't hear you. Pardoned before requested. He kissed him. He sealed his pardon. He didn't swear. He didn't open his lips and say, "You little dog, you know you did this to me. I'm gonna blah blah, and you made shame and da da." You know, he didn't go on and on and on. Not one word of condemnation came out of those lips. He forgave him. He kissed him. And he reinstated him. What does the brother do? What did the brother do? Let's read a bit. Luke 15, verse 29 and 30. He says, "Come on in. The party is going. Come, son." "No, I'm not coming in." Right? And then the brother says to the father, "All these years I've slaved for you. Never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even a young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back, after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf." What a small-minded, self-centered priority. But you know, it represents a lot of us. A lot of the time, look at the times we get angry. Look at what we are upset about. It's not to do with our self-centeredness. You see that? The older son had the father's prosperity, but he didn't have the father's priority. The father's priority was making sure that none be lost. The older brother had the father, had his lips basically flowing, or had the lands, had everything, you know, had the father's lands that were flowing with milk and honey. That's what he had. He had, the Bible says, the father says, "You, everything I have is yours," he told the older son. So he has the father's lands flowing with milk and honey, but he doesn't have the father's lips flowing with grace and mercy. And that's what God is expecting us to do. How do we respond to this? I want to tell you that one of the most quoted verses in the world, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that nobody should perish. Everybody should have everlasting life." Look at it. Look at the value God places on you and me. He gives His one and only Son. That's how much He cares for you and for me. The Father had compassionate eyes. He had the heart, He had the feet, He had the arms, He had the lips. He runs towards so that nobody would perish. I used to always wonder, you know, what if the older brother had also joined hands with the father? Think about it. Today we won't have this one prodigal son story. We probably have many people come to the Lord. Many prodigals come because the older brother joined hands with the father. Abundant Life, Cupertino, I'm here to tell you, we need to look outside the house a little more. Stop worrying about whether we should get a LED or this is good enough. Let's start worrying more about how we can reach those who don't know Christ. I see your community has changed. I see a lot of people, listen to me very carefully. This is what I thought last night. I see a lot of people in this city that were not there when I came 34 years ago and visited here. I see a lot of people who we cannot reach in their native countries. God has brought to your doorstep. You see, God has brought them to you. You know, some people, sometimes you hear, "Oh, Pastor, you know, our church has grown. We minister to probably about 10,000 every week, 3,700 kids. Our missions have spread. Like I tell you, we have 785 house churches. We're doing all this," and somebody will come and say, "Oh, Pastor, don't you think our church is big enough?" And I said, you know, our church got big enough 20 years ago. That's the wrong question. You know what the right question is? Should anyone be left behind? Should anyone be left behind in a country that's not even 2% born again? There's nothing wrong. I love beautiful things. You come to our church, we've improved. We put some nice stuff there. But never if it is going to compromise what we're going to do in reaching others. You see, God wants us to have that heart. When you do to missions, don't just fill that form. Don't fill that card. Maybe you already did it. Here we go. You know, I want to tell some of you, I say this in my church, and I really feel I should say it here this morning. You know, it's not how much you put, but you need to do something. You need to say, "Lord, just like I eat three meals a day, I do some things, I am going to reach the lost. I'm going to give. Even if it's $2 or a dollar, do it, but put it in. Commit so that you will reach somebody where you can't go, where you can't do, you'll give it so somebody else will do it. Participate. Everybody, if you're a student, you're saying, "Pastor, I don't have any income." It's okay. You give trusting God. I started with $1. And God spoke to me the first pledge card I signed up. And He said, "You don't have one, so why don't you sign it? Why don't you have faith for the highest?" It was 20. It was a youth pledging at that time. So I remember I put 20 and I almost felt like, "My gosh, how am I going to get this?" And God has met. Ever since then, I've increased and increased and increased. You see, because God never fails. You see, no one should be lost. Amen? No one should be lost. You know, today we live in a world with the temporal, and what is temporal and what is eternal. I want to tell you, this is something God has brought to me. I've spoken this to you, I think, before too. This is something that burns in my heart. This is not part of my message. This is part of my life. Look at us Christians. Look at us who are born again. We are so full of the temporal. There is no difference in being saved and having eternal perspective. I want to tell you, the moment you gave your heart to Jesus, you become eternal. Look at the temporary problems you have. Look at the temporary problems we all have. I want to tell you, when you die, all your problems die with you. Hello? Are you with me? Let's try this. In Sri Lanka, in our church, when the preacher says hello, the people say hi. Hello? Whoa, that's better than us. Hello? Hello? Okay, now you're with me. You understand what I'm saying? You see, we live for temporal. Everything that's temporal will end. But you know, the problem is when you die, your problems die, but you don't. Because you're not temporal, you're eternal. And God wants you to remember that you are eternal. You're an eternal being. And you have been raised for eternity. You see, God has a plan. You know, sometimes in our church, we have three languages. So, we have worship. We have fellowship. Right? We have cell groups and we work that. We have the worship. Then we have ministry times and ministries we do. Miracle nights. Then we also have discipleship. We teach people everything. And one day the Lord showed this very clearly. Every week in our church, we do 2 hours of worship practice. If you're in English, it's on Wednesday. If you're singular Tamil, it's on Friday. And they practice and they practice and they're pretty good. Every week we have cell groups. We have over 800 cell groups every week. They fellowship. They spend 2 hours. We have classes before church and sometimes after, depends on which language and what time, and over hours studying the word. And the Lord showed me, He said, you know, they worship, they practice to worship. There'll be better worship up there. How many can say amen? You see, the fellowship is great, but there'll be better fellowship up there. There'll be a time of learning and seeing and getting closer to God down here, but there is a better time of getting closer to God up there. And we have 2 hours given for that. But He said, there's one thing they will never do up there. And you haven't assigned any time for that down here. And that is, they'll never be able to tell somebody, introduce somebody to Jesus, because everybody up there already knows Him. You see, the only thing you cannot do up there is evangelize. Do missions. The only thing you can't do up there is tell somebody about Jesus. But look at the time we take to do the same things that we will do up there. But we're not intentional enough about the one thing we cannot do. You see, temporal. Some of us are so worried about temporal. I want to tell you, in 1,000 years, you won't know how to spell income tax. It won't even exist. Let me close with this story. A well-known pastor in Texas, Dr. George W. Truett, he went to dinner with a very wealthy businessman. He went for dinner, and after dinner, the businessman in his big ranch took him to a high place. And they climbed up to this high place, and the businessman pointed to his left. And he said, Dr. Truett, look, as far as you can see and beyond, all those oil wells, they are mine. He said, they are mine. He said, 25 years ago, I had nothing. But now, they are all mine. And then, he pointed to his right. And he said, look at all those fields of grain and corn. As far beyond that you can see, they are mine. Look in that direction. And look in that direction. And then he said, look in this direction. All the forest, all the trees, all those things in this direction that you can see are mine. And then he said, look in this direction. All the cows and the herds, thousands of cattle. He said, they are mine. He thought the pastor will come and pat him on the back and commend him for his success. But the pastor came and he put his arm on his shoulder and he said, my brother, he said, in this direction, what do you have? What have you invested in this direction? And he said, I hadn't thought about that. You see, it's so tragic for the person who has plenty to live on and nothing to live for. You see, God has a plan. I want to tell you, as a Christian, you're put on this earth for a time. And in that time frame, God wants you to eternally invest. Christian friend, I want to tell you, if you are a Christian, you cannot retire. You cannot. I mean, you can retire from your job. You retire from your job, and that's when you say, Lord, thy kingdom come. Now I have more time to put something in that direction. You see, earlier I retire, I play golf, I go fishing. Well, I want to tell you, what do you think you're going to do in heaven? No, in this earth, God keeps you as long as it takes. Christians don't retire. Christians get more time from their workplace to finally invest in the right place and to do that which till God calls them home. Why in the world should we do this? Because we need the Father's heart. We need to do what the Father is saying. God has kept you for a purpose. My prayer is that this missions and beyond, you will start looking outside of the house. I still remember when we went to Bethany, 1983 or 1984, I heard this song that the words never left me. It's an old song that says, there is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on the table and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush calms the singing as the Father sadly says, my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. Let's look outside of the house. Let's pray. Father, I ask you, Lord, speak to our hearts very clearly. Complete the work that you have started in each and everyone's life. Lord, I pray that we will not be the older prodigal son. We will realize that you have put us here for this time, for such a time as this, for your plan and your purpose. I pray that each one will conform to your will and that your will be done.
Heads bowed and your eyes closed. Let's continue to pray. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word. God, give us the vision, the feet, the arms and the lips of the Father. God, help us to understand that all we have is not our own. It's yours. When you find someone who will use what's yours for your pleasure, there will be an unending outpouring from you to us. Because we do with what's yours what you like. God, I pray that this message will go beyond just our pocketbooks. And it will go into our time. Father, forgive us when we so easily write a monthly check, but yet we're very slow in speaking to people in our life. God, help us to grasp the truth that our money and our time is yours, and there's very limited supply of both. Money will perish with this world. Time will go on. God, help us to be doers, not just hearers today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. On your faith pledge card, it's called a faith pledge.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.